We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Greetings and welcome to another edition of My Music, presented before a live audience, relatively, at the Commonwealth Institute in London. John Amos and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. John, here's a very catchy folk dance called Newcastle. John, that was Newcastle, played by the Broadside Band, with fiddle, bass viol, regal, and mandora. What are those last two? Regal, mandora.
I think a regal is a kind of fiddle, or fiddle, and a mandora is a kind of lute.
Yes, ancestor of the lute. Regal is not a fiddle.
Is it not?
No. So you've got half a mark. Portable one-manual organ. Frank, is this enormously popular piece, please?
It's known as the toccata.
The toccata.
Yeah, well, it's the only one I know. That's right. And it's played as a kind of voluntary, mostly, when I've heard it in churches.
Yes, actually, organists are asked to play it, and they're not very voluntary about it. Yeah. There are organists who can't manage a very difficult piece are asked to play it at weddings. That's right, yes. It's the toccata by good luck, really.
By request, by desire,
yeah. Tell him, John.
It's by that well-known American Hollywood director, King Vidor.
The toccata from Vidor's Fifth Organ Symphony, recorded there by Carlo Curley. What a name. There's a name to conjure with. Ian, I'm coming to you now. From the colossal output of operas by Verdi, I'm going to play you three notes, and they're not even sung. They're played by the orchestra. Question is, can you place them?
It's from Rigoletto. My goodness me, that takes us back. In the very first My Music programme ever, you played that for Dennis. Not just the three notes, but you played somebody singing La Donne Mobile. And you then said to him, Dennis, translate from the Italian La Donna e Mobile. And quick as a flash, he said, my bird's got a motorbike. That was the first, yeah, the first laughter we heard, yes, in My Music. Absolutely. All those years ago.
I wanted to introduce this again because on a much earlier programme, I mentioned that somebody, I'm longing to repeat this because so many people have asked to hear it again, somebody said, if you play yourself the very end of the version of La Donna e Mobile by Nicolai Gedda, you will find that he sings the words, elephant's ears. And I knew this was ridiculous, and I played the record, and he does. Listen. Well, a lot of people wanted to hear that again, and now they have. Right, Dennis. Two titles, at least two titles, please, for this.
Reminiscence of something somebody once told me that they heard in America, the Silent Night Bossa Nova. You Are My Heart's Delight, yes. And in German, that's something like Das's Gein Ganz Heart Alone, a line, or something like that. Yeah.
Well, yes, in English, you're my heart's delight. In America, do you happen to...
Oh, yes, they call it, yours is, mine is your heart alone, or yours is my
yours
heart alone.
Yours is my heart, heart alone. Alone, that's right. Yes. The version we heard was George Shearing, it was done as a mambo, but you've got it, yes, the three language versions there. The Lion, the Ram, Gemini, Aquarius... John, the answer is written in our stars. Who composed a Capricorn concerto?
Samuel Barber.
That is right, and you've got a good, rich mark for that.
Thank you.
Three more star questions. Frank, what has this to do with stars?
Yes. Very little, in fact.
Pigs in space!
It's a television thing, isn't it? Star Trek. Who has it said that about astrology, saying, I don't believe in it? I don't even believe in astronomy. Yes.
Ian, the star of the County Down, what was her name, and what are the four corners of Ireland that can boast nothing like her?
Oh, can I sing you the answer?
Oh, yes, please. That'd be lovely.
Yes, no, can just a minute.
Can you sing me the answer?
As she onwards sped, I scratched me head, and I gazed with a feeling queer. Then I says I, to a passer-by, who's the maid with the nut-brown hair? He smiled at me, and with pride says he, that's the gem in old Ireland's crown. Now here comes what you wanted. Young Rosie McCann, that's the first answer. Yes. From the banks of the Bann, she's the star of the county. Down here's the rest of it. Oh, from Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, and from Galway to Dublin town. No maid I've seen like the brown Colleen that I met in the county down.
Perfection.
It's a bit of my regular repertoire.
Oh, lovely, that was lovely. Dennis, here's a star ending on a high note. I thought that beat might be coming boing at the end.
Yeah.
Never make up your mind, was the line she was singing.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny.
That's right, yeah. Yes. In the film...
Which film? Because there's Lady in the Dark. No, that would be, because of that, that would be the excerpt they did in Star.
Yeah.
And particularly as you're asking around about stars,
that
confirms my suspicions.
Yeah. And it was sung by a young lady who I first saw at the age of 12 on the stage of the London Hippodrome, in black velvet singing.
Yes, Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews, that's right. Yes, the story of Gertrude Lawrence, it was, in fact. Right, please put the record straight, requests the musicologist Lionel Salter, who takes me to task for misleading you slightly about the first televised opera, and I'm happy to oblige. The first opera directly commissioned for television began like this. Which was Giancarlo Minotti's Amahl and the Night Visitors, first seen on Christmas Eve 1951 in America. But, John, the first opera, or even part of an opera that was ever televised, was in a BBC News programme 2 weeks after the world's first television service opened, here, of course, in November 1936. What they showed was a snippet from the opera Pickwick. Its composer was born in St. Petersburg, died in Cape Town, a cellist, pianist and conductor. His name...
Albert Coates.
Got it, yes.
And he was a conductor who looked as if he was always conducting with the back part of him. Not the upper back, but the lower back. But a very good conductor of Russian music.
Yes. Father born in Yorkshire, mother a Russian. And he also composed an opera called Samuel Pepys. And talking of Pepys, Frank, your question, who played Pepys in a 1951 musical based on his life?
1951.
Hmm? Yes. 1951.
And so to bed.
That's right. That may play a bar or two. Nice Vivian Ellis tune. Who played Pepys?
Leslie Henson.
That's right. Leslie Henson it was, with Betty Paul as Elizabeth Pepys. Just playing the piano reminded me, I saw a memo from our producer that was sent to some production department that read, piano to be tuned at 1700 hours sharp. Ian, we were talking about Samuel Pickwick. In the musical version of Pickwick that we all remember, there was a song for Harry Secombe called British Justice.
I will not pay!
Ian,
oh, that's splendid.
Is it lovely to hear him, you know, sharp or not? Ian, in the Dickens story, who represents British justice in court and who are the firm that retain
him? Oh, goodness.
Him.
I think I know the name of the chap, Sergeant Buzzfuzz.
He'll do.
But
yes,
I can't think of the...
Who are the firm?
Can't think. The only legal thing I can ever think of in Dickens is Jarndyce v. Jarndyce, but that's a different story.
Well, this
altogether.
Is Bardell versus Pickwick. Do you know the legal firm, Dennis? Somebody in the audience, please. Oh, you must know. Dodson and Fogg.
Could I go back for a moment to the televised opera first? Mm. Because I think I'm right in saying that I was in the first fully-length television opera, which was in 1947, La Bohème from the Cambridge Theatre.
And you think it was the first... What? The
well,
first
I think it was the first opera televised from a theatre...
Yes.
And it was, I think, before they had televised an opera in full from a television studio.
Yes. Dennis, the best-known song from that musical, Pickwick, was this. Well up there, Harry Secombe. Dennis, whose book, music and lyrics?
Wolf Mankiewicz's book, Cyril Ornadell's music, and Leslie Bricus, one of the few things that where he only wrote the lyrics.
Mm. That's right. Songs and their words. Where will I find a reference in a song to, John? Biting the Blue Finger.
Biting the Blue Finger.
Biting the Blue Finger. Yes.
Finger.
Biting the Blue Finger.
Dennis seems to know this. No.
I'll tell you what, this will be rather good. I will play you the left hand only of the introduction to the piano part, right?
Good Lord.
Did a frustrated author writing with ink?
No.
Tum da dum da dim 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 pom ba dum ba dum.
What is it? Paul Williams.
Yes, it's the
Songs of Travel.
Yes, it's one. It's The Vagabond.
The Vagabond.
Biting the Blue Finger, they sing in the middle of it. Let him have
funny
it.
Funny line. Yeah.
A line from a song, Frank. No smell of gasoline. Dennis Sanders.
Sheik of Araby. Reassuring the lady in his tent.
Yes, Ali Baba's camel. No smell of gasoline.
What did Dennis say?
No smell of gasoline.
Thanks for the buggy ride.
Yeah, thanks for the buggy ride. Do you want Frank to have the mark?
Yeah. I will not give the poor devil the mark. Not unless it's money.
I'll give him the mark then, why not? Yeah. Ian, I don't believe it was his mother. What's that from?
I don't believe it was his mother.
From the finale of Act One of something.
This it's very understandable that they didn't believe it was his mother.
That's
because
right.
Iolanthe, for right. having fallen in love with a member of the human race, was condemned to lie upside down in the bottom of a river for many, many years. And remained 17.
I didn't actually ask for the synopsis, but a quick rundown on the 17 acts.
Steve, there is so often that I have nothing to contribute.
Oh,
but a lot of
syllabic.
Sorry. And you see, we're here when I have, cut short. All right, I'll just say the Lord Chancellor. Very difficult for anybody to believe that a 17-year-old girl could be a 25-year-old peer's mother.
That's right. I don't believe it was.
I mean, she only looked 17, although she was much older.
Oh, do shut up. Yes. The Lord Chancellor, as you say, the finale.
So I take it that my singing clue didn't help much. Yes.
I've got a... Well, it kind of served to... It was a sort of catalyst. Yes.
Okay.
Dennis, I've got just an excerpt from a song for you. Don't let us throw one.
You have out obscured me.
So don't.
Actually, give me the right hand only.
Don't let us throw. So don't let us throw one sweet moment away. Yes.
Now that came out unbidden, but I don't know what song it is.
It's a cliche remark.
Sweet moment. Oh, go on. Tell me.
Time waits for no one. You won't expect the mark for that. Some musical curiosities now. John, can you think of a composition of 1727 in which the accompaniment is much better known and better loved than the actual tune itself?
The first of the 48 preludes and fugues, or rather the prelude.
Oh, well, that's so brilliant, you must get it. I don't know about 1727, but the...
Well, neither do I. Brilliant, you
know. Well, can I just explain that? You are thinking of...
Yes.
Ave Maria. Which is the Gounod added the Ave Maria tune on the top. Yeah. Well, you must have the mark. I was thinking of this accompaniment.
Oh, yes.
As opposed to the tune.
On the other hand, the tune isn't Bach's, is it?
No, but it's the tune.
Sure.
Frank, here's a more than familiar snatch of song.
You want to demonstrate it, or
Frank? No. Question, do be careful. What is the title of that song?
It's called... It's called Cokey Cokey.
The pardon?
Cokey Cokey.
Yes, that's right. Not the Hokey Cokey or the Hokey Pokey or anything like that, but the Cokey Cokey is the correct title. You're absolutely right.
Well, I just said it.
Yes, but a lot of people don't. They call it the Hocus Pocus.
Lionel Salter will have you up for it.
Ian, rather similar to John's question, it's a light music... composition of our own day, in which the counter melody is probably better known, better liked even, than the melody itself. Shall I give you the first couple of chords?
Do. Ronald Binge, yes. Elizabethan Serenade.
Yes. The counter melody is. And the tune, of course, is. Yep. Dennis, can you think of a hit record of 1951 with a monosyllabic title, I might add, in which the second chorus, rather than the first chorus, was almost certainly what made it into a hit?
A monosyllabic
title, yes. And the second chorus, I maintain, is what made it a hit, not the first chorus. And shall
I
play you...
No, that's the clue which throws you. I was thinking of If.
No. Yeah, if I give it a...
Yes. Now, I'll play you the tape, and then as soon as you recognise the song, shout its title. Right?
Right.
Here we go.
Cry.
Johnny Ray's Cry, yeah. the second chorus.
It was very good.
Here are four final songs about jobs or professions, being respectively fruit seller, ploughboy, costermonger and pirate king. And guess who's going to be the pirate king if he gets his breath up? Frank, you first. Strawberry Fair.
It's occurred to me from time to time that John keeps having the privilege... of being unaccompanied by yourself.
Oh, what?
In his singing. And I thought that I would sing this unaccompanied, if I may.
Right, you may do that, yes.
As I was going to Strawberry Fair, singing, buttercups and daisies, I met a maiden taking her ware. Fiddle-dee, Her eyes were blue and golden her hair. As she went on to Strawberry Fair. Rifle, rifle, what a lovely eiffel. Rifle, rifle. That's enough of me.
The great difficulty when you sing unaccompanied songs, as that proves, is finding the right note to start on. Well, neither too high nor too low.
That's right. You're accompanied, John. Anyway, cowboy, ploughman, footman, right. Butler, all in the ploughboy.
Up right. The apples and pears.
That's right. There's your key.
A flaxen-headed cowboy, as simple as may be, and next a merry ploughboy I whistled overly. But now a saucy footman I stretch in Butler's place, and soon I'll be a butler and wear my jolly face. When steward I'm promoted, a snip the tradesman's bill, my master's coffer's empty, my pocket's for to bill. When lolling in my chariot, so great a man I be, so great a man, so great a man, so great a man I'll be. Forget the little ploughboy that whistled otherly. You'll forget the little ploughboy that whistled otherly.
For Dennis, a song about fruit and veg, all the things they sell from the barrows in the Walworth Road. Norman Long billed himself, Dennis, do you remember, as...
Well, he billed himself as a smile, a song and a piano, that's but he was known within the profession as all teeth and trousers.
Yes. I thought it was a song, a joke and a piano. But
no, a smile, a song and a piano. No, did it have a tune?
Yes.
Right, yes, I'm not too proud to sing with it, right. They've got cotton, they got silks, they got winkles, they got wilks on the barrows in the Walworth Road. You'll know how a lover feels if you have some jellied eels from the barrows in the Walworth Road. You can pick up bargains hot, you can pick up quite a lot, that you will have a shock when you unload. They've canaries, they're all posh, that are sparrows when they wash on the barrows in the Walworth Road.
Mrs. P.R. Oliver of Wadebridge, Cornwall, went into a store in Newquay and said, I'd like a record of the Pirates of Penzance. And the girl behind the counter said, are they a local group? Ian, I am a pirate king. Can you give me a rumpty-tumpty idea of a tempo?
Sort of rum-pum-pum-pum-pum-pum-pum-pum. About that, like that, till ready. Oh, better far to live and die under the brave black flag I fly than play a sanctimonious part with a pirate's head and a pirate's heart. Away to the cheating world go you, where pirates all are well to do, but I'll be true to the song I sing and live and die a pirate king, for I am a pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king, for I am a pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. It is, hurrah for the pirate king, hurrah for the pirate king.
Time to go, but just time to tell you that this week's victors are John Amos and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Say
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.